Good morning to you all. I'm Barry Fung from BNP Paribas. On behalf of Lenovo Group Limited, welcome to today's ESG Update conference call. As a global leader in the tech sector, Lenovo has been at the forefront in its commitment to building a sustainable planet, combating climate change, promoting inclusion, and closing the digital divide. Lenovo is an early adopter of science-based targets and had its 2030 target validated by SBTi back in 2020. As part of its steadfast commitment to sustainability and vision to provide smarter technology for all, Lenovo announced early this year its net zero commitment for 2050, aligned to SBTi's net zero standard, making Lenovo the first PC and smartphone maker globally to establish a net zero target validated by SBTi. We would like to take this opportunity to update you on Lenovo's ESG strategies, initiatives, and latest achievements, and are deeply honored to have us today, the company's senior management and representatives from the ESG team. From Treasury and IR side, we have Mr. Hugh Wu, Vice President and Treasurer, Ms. Jenny Lai, Vice President Investor Relations, Ms. Shermaine Koh, Director Insurance and Treasury Operations, Mr. Keith Wong, Director Treasury. We are also joined by Lenovo CSG and Company Secretary teams. We have Ms. Laura Cortella, Senior Vice President, Chief Legal and Corporate Responsibility Officer, Ms. Mary Shark, Executive Director, Global ESG and Regulatory Compliance, Mr. Kelvin Crossland, Vice President, Chief Diversity Officer and President of Lenovo Foundation, Ms. Tracy Lam, Company Secretary and Deputy General Counsel, and Ms. Rita Yang, Global Supply Chain, ESG and Sustainability Manager. There will be Q&A section after the company's presentation, and please input your question in the system and they will be addressed by the order. With that, I will pass the time to Hugh and his team.
Thank you. Thank you for joining our ESG update. This is our first ESG update of this nature. Even though we do engage with many of you in one-on-one and other forums on a regular basis. For those who are not familiar with Lenovo, let me start by giving you a quick summary. Lenovo is a global technology powerhouse serving millions of customers every day in 180 markets, incorporated in Hong Kong with key operation centers in Beijing and North Carolina. Our vision is to deliver smarter technology for all. As the world's largest PC company, we have built our success by further expanding into key growth areas, including server, storage, mobile solutions and services. Working with more than 2,000 suppliers in 35 global manufacturing sites, we have more than 5 million order lines and over 115 million shipments per year. Lenovo has a flexible, resilient global supply chain that was ranked number 8 in Gartner's top 25 global supply chains in the year 2023, and we have put more than US$100 million investment on digital transformation. We have remained steadfast in our commitment to building a sustainable planet, promoting inclusion, closing the digital divide, and being a responsible corporate citizen everywhere we do our business. Despite numerous challenges and complexities over the past years, noteworthy progress was made, with ESG as an integral part of our strategy, innovation, and operations. This is the reason and the motivation for today's ESG update, to facilitate discussion with our stakeholders on this very important topic. We are a global business and maintain a strong geographical balance, with our revenues fairly evenly generated for Americas, China, ATAC outside of China, and EMEA. We offer clients a suite of products, services, and solutions across our three business groups. The SSG, Solutions and Services Group, which is spearheading our service-led transformation, is focused on smart verticals, attached services, managed services, and our as-a-service offerings. The ISG, Infrastructure Solutions Group, provides smart infrastructure. We are one of the world's fastest-growing infrastructure solution providers and rank number one in top 500 HPC and number three by worldwide server. And lastly, the IDG, Intelligent Devices Group, which comprises our PCs and smart devices and mobile business, where we maintain number one in global PC. While the PC and smart devices business account for a large portion of our revenue, we have grown the non-PC business steadily and now represents 40% of our combined revenues. Notwithstanding market challenges, our divisions set multiple performance records in growth and profitability this year. For further details, please refer to our annual report and results presentation in May this year. As a leading global company, given the role we play in serving our communities, Lenovo is uniquely positioned to develop innovative solutions to reshape the way we and our customers conduct their business, help preserve the ecosystems on which our future depends, and help solve sustainable development challenges. ESG is an integral part of Lenovo's strategy, innovation, and operations. So we are pleased to have this great opportunity to speak to you all on this topic. Now, I will pass it to Laura, our Chief Legal and Corporate Responsibility Officer, to give you an overview on Lenovo's ESG material topics and vision. Laura, please.
Thank you so much, Hugh. We all know that in recent years, there's definitely been heightened scrutiny of ESG and sustainability, but ESG is not a new phenomenon for Lenovo at all. We've been measuring and reporting our sustainability efforts for over 15 years. Increased awareness of these topics has, however, amplified the need for corporate transparency and reporting. Hugh has already characterized for you the company's expansive global footprint, diverse customer segments and employee base, our vast supplier network, and multiple manufacturing facilities across 9 countries. Given this backdrop, you'll understand that Lenovo's sustainability efforts need to be managed in a comprehensive yet targeted and collaborative manner. Through our ongoing engagement with different stakeholders, we've identified material ESG-related topics that align with our significant environmental, social, and governance priorities. This helps us set ESG goals and targets and disclosure practices, and it facilitates our ongoing engagement with stakeholders like you. These material topics align with and contribute to the respective UN SDGs, and they provide us with a blueprint for leveraging smarter technology for all to achieve a more sustainable future. One of my responsibilities at Lenovo is Chief Responsibility Officer and leading our corporate ESG function. Inherent in our bold and ambitious vision to deliver smarter technology for all is our ESG vision, how we turn our ESG commitment into action and hold ourselves accountable to drive impact for communities. Combating climate change is a moral imperative. We put sustainability at the core of our considerations throughout our entire value chain, from design to manufacturing and from logistics to services. Lenovo is an early adopter of the science-based emissions reduction approach, and we received SBTi approval for our near-term emissions and reduction targets as early as 2020. For exceeding our 2020 emissions reduction goal 1 year ahead of target in January of this year, we've ramped up our commitment to sustainability even further, committing to reduce absolute scope 1, 2, and 3 greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by fiscal year 2049-50 from a fiscal year 2018-19 base year. I want to underscore that Lenovo is the first PC and smartphone maker to have our long-term net zero targets validated by SBTi. We believe as a global technology leader that Lenovo has the capability and the profound responsibility to champion diversity and inclusion, give back to communities, and close the digital divide. As a company somewhat uniquely founded in China, but with global operations, offerings, and customer sets, and of course employees located around the world, Lenovo has always pursued a path of diversity and inclusion. It's incumbent upon us to promote an inclusive culture for both the company's global workforce and for our customer base. Consistent with this, we commit to respecting and upholding human rights across the organization, including with respect to corporate strategy, as Hugh mentioned, company practices, and supplier requirements. Our programs and partnerships equip communities with the technology, the connectivity, and skills to participate in the digital economy, create a more equitable world, and close the digital divide. We'll talk more about governance on the next slide, but I want to highlight here that our ESG practices include a robust governance structure that is continually evaluated and refined to ensure that we hold ourselves and our business partners globally to the highest standards of ethics and compliance. I'll now pass it to Mary, our Executive Director of Global ESG and Regulatory Compliance, to take you through our ESG approach and developments. Mary, please.
Thank you, Laura. So as Laura mentioned, we have a mature ESG governance structure that is composed of committees both on the senior management side of the company as well as on the board side of the company. And these structures are in place to help us ensure that we have the highest levels of accountability and transparency in our ESG programs. So at the highest level, the board has oversight for our ESG programs and reporting, and they manage this responsibility through the governance structure that you can see here on the chart. Our board members are updated on a regular basis on critical ESG risk areas and responses, and also updated through regular briefings on key ESG practices, and they review and approve the annual ESG report as well. So their oversight is supported by a number of different committees that you can see here on the chart, both on the board side and on the management side. And the one that I really want to highlight is the ESG Executive Oversight Committee. And this is chaired by Laura as our Chief Legal and Corporate Responsibility Officer. And this committee really is the group of senior leaders at the company that helps provide strategic direction on our ESG programs and facilitates the coordination of our ESG efforts across the company. Also importantly, they act as champions to help ensure that ESG considerations are included as part of business group operations. In addition to Laura's responsibility for chairing the ESG EOC committee, she also is responsible for making sure that our leadership, including our Lenovo executive committee and the board of directors, are regularly updated on key ESG topics. In addition to this governance structure, we have formulated numerous policies and programs and strategies to help us address ESG risk management, to ensure good governance practices, and help us drive our strategic priorities. Tracy, our company secretary and deputy general counsel, will now tell you more about our governance structure and practices. Tracy?
Thanks, Mary. We have a rigorous and effective governance structure, which allows us to advance our ESG initiatives, implement and integrate our policies throughout our business operations in an effective and responsible manner. We believe that the strength of the board stems from its members' independence and diversity. Diversity reflects the world in which we operate in and serve. By leveraging our members' different backgrounds and experience, we bring variety into our perspectives. And this fosters better understanding of key issues, allows us to tackle challenges from different angles. Our board and board committees are well represented by independent members. Over 70% of our board and committees are represented by independent directors. With the adoption of a board diversity policy, a wide range of factors are considered when identifying suitable candidates for appointment as directors. Such factors include, among others, the candidate's background, experience, gender, and age. We currently have two members on our 11-member board who are females, and we target 20% female representation on the board by FY 2025 and 26. We continue to ensure a diverse pool of members are represented in our board and board committees. Just like the rest of our organization, our management and our governance also need to evolve in response to technological and scientific developments, changes in business dynamics, and customer demand. Awareness of key risks associated with ESG is also critical for the board and our management teams, as it strengthens the board's oversight of our policies and programs, and also to reinforce our commitment to sustainability and social responsibility. We provide the board with regular updates on progress against our ESG goals and initiatives, and engage our board as well as management team at various activities such as Lenovo Tech World, Lenovo Global Leadership Team Annual Meeting, Industry Congress, and other seminars and regular updates. So this wraps up my introduction into our governance structure, and I'll pass the time back to Mary to update you on our latest ESG achievements.
Thank you, Tracy. So as Laura said, ESG is not new to Lenovo. It's something that we've been addressing for many years, and we've had an unwavering commitment to help build a sustainable planet, promote inclusion, close the digital divide, and be a responsible corporate citizen everywhere we do business. We have made noteworthy progress with ESG as part of our, an integral part of our strategy, innovation, and operations, and I'm really proud that this has been highly recognized by the market and ESG rating providers. This year, our ESG activities reached an important milestone, including being upgraded to a AAA rating in MSCI's ESG rating, as well as being listed at the leadership level by CDP for the climate change, water security, and supplier engagement surveys this year. And another highlight is that we were included in the Bloomberg Gender Equality Index for the fourth year in a row. One of the highlights from earlier this calendar year in January 2023 is that we announced that we became the first PC and smartphone maker and one of the first 139 companies in the world to have new net zero targets validated by the Science Based Targets Initiative. In this group, the Science Based Targets Initiative is basically the gold standard body for evaluating climate commitments. We're really proud that we were one of the first to go through this process because it shows that not only are we aligned with the science and that we've set rigorous goals that align with scientific consensus, but also that we're holding ourselves accountable by having our targets validated and by committing to drive transparency in our progress and our responses. One of the ways where we're making progress is continuing to focus on innovation, including innovation in the design of our products. And this innovation drive was recognized for the second consecutive year while we were ranked 24th in the Boston Consulting Group's top 50 most innovative companies. We know that achieving our own emission reduction goals is important, but it's only one part of our larger climate action strategy. We want to leverage our scale, our infrastructure, and our access to help us get opportunities to our customers to leverage our technology, products, and solutions to help them meet their goals and empower them with more sustainable choices. On the social side, I want to highlight that we, through our philanthropic programs, we actually met one of our 2025 goals early, and that was to impact 15 million lives by 2025. Last year, we actually achieved 16.5 million lives impacted since 2020. And lastly, as you may be aware, and as we'll talk about in a little more detail later, we issued our inaugural $625 million green bond offering last July. So now I want to dive in a little bit more detail on climate change, which is one of the really critical areas that we're focused on and we recognize that our customers are focused on as well. So when we think about our emissions reductions, we have to think about not just emissions related to our own operations, which are called scope 1 and 2, but also the biggest areas of emissions in our value chain, or what's called scope 3 emissions. We've aligned our assessment to the Greenhouse Gas Reporting Protocol and certainly to the Science-Based Targets Initiative standard. And you can see on the left, upper left in black, the scope 3 categories that are relevant to Lenovo. And I want to call out that it's the biggest areas of scope 3 emissions for Lenovo are purchased goods and services, use of sold products, and product transportation. So I'll talk in a little bit more detail about the specific goals we have to address those areas in a minute. But on the right, I want to highlight that you can see some of our progress that we've made over the years in terms of reducing our scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. And I'll talk in a few minutes about how we're doing that and what our philosophy is for tackling these challenges. Now I want to talk a little bit more about our recent announcement related to net zero. And so as Laura said, we have had climate change targets in place for many years. In fact, we met our first generation goals a year early in 2019. In 2020, we announced our new science-based targets that were for 2030, and we essentially immediately started working on new targets that were aligned to the new Science-Based Targets Initiative for Net Zero standard. So earlier this year, as I mentioned, we updated our near-term targets to align our near-term 2030 emission goals to the latest science. And then we also importantly announced a new 2050 commitment to reduce all of our scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions by 90%. By 2050. And this is an absolute reduction target. As I mentioned earlier, this is significant because this does align with the global science and the 1.5 degree scenario, and it really addresses all areas across our value chain. So next, I want to share with you some more detail about what our specific targets are in each of these areas and how we plan on addressing them. So for our scope 1 and 2 emissions, we've committed to reduce these emissions by 50% by 2030. And we'll do that through a stepwise process where first we look at improving the energy efficiency of our operations. Next, we look at installing on-site renewable energy. And then finally, we use renewable energy commodities to help us meet our goals. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of those specific projects in a minute. For our scope 3 emissions, we're really focused in terms of the use of sold products on working with our product development teams to innovate new ways to drive energy efficiency in our products, as well as engaging with our customers to investigate ways to use more renewable energy. On the procurement side, for purchased goods and services, our approach is to try to bring our supply chain along with us. And so we are measuring our suppliers through quarterly business reviews and scorecards, and we're pushing them to follow us in our path in setting science-based targets and specifically in setting net zero targets. Lastly, in the global emissions space, global emissions area for our scope 3 emissions, we are looking at shifting to lower carbon modes of transport, and then we're also using data to optimize our transportation planning and vehicle utilization, and we're innovating through new pilot programs to use new fuels like sustainable aviation fuel and sustainable marine fuels. So next I want to talk a little more about some of the other internal KPIs that we've set. And so certainly climate change is one of our biggest focus areas. And as I mentioned, we do have validated science-based targets that address our scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. In addition, we have a 2025 goal to source 90% of our electricity from renewable sources, and also another goal to remove 1 million tons of greenhouse gases from our supply chain. While climate change is important, it's not our only focus area, and we're also really focusing on helping ourselves and helping our customers transition from a linear to a circular economy. And in the circular economy area, we're focused on trying to extend the life of our product through innovations that improve durability and longevity, and also trying to measure how we facilitate the repair of our products to keep them in use longer. Ultimately, though, we know our products will eventually reach the end of life, and so we're trying to offer optimized recycling programs to help our customers responsibly recycle their equipment at the end of life, and also to help us recover materials and parts to use as part of the circular economy. A closely related topic is sustainable materials, and here in this space, we're focused not just on the materials we use to build our products, but also the materials we use in our packaging. And here we're focused on driving the use of more post-consumer recycled content, and in the packaging space, using less plastic and more innovative materials. So now I'm going to hand it over to Calvin, who is our Vice President, Chief Diversity Officer, and President of the Lenovo Foundation, who will touch upon the targets we have for our diversity and inclusion and philanthropy initiatives. Calvin?
Thank you, Mary. Some additional targets on the social side include targets designed to foster greater diversity and inclusion, where we commit to, by fiscal year 2025-26, grow global representation of women and historically underrepresented ethnic and racial groups in executive roles, and ensure that 75% of our products will be vetted by inclusive design experts, and targets designed to further our empowerment of underrepresented populations, where we commit to engage 25% of our employees in our charitable programs and to target impact 15 million lives and transform 1 million lives through our programs and partnerships by fiscal year 2025 and 26. Back to you, Mary.
Thanks, Cal. So on the governance side, we're focused on the continuous improvement in our collective performance in the leadership of the company. And we've set many targets across a number of different areas to help us evaluate and advance our performance, improve the effectiveness of our programs, and provide continued training and compliance to our ethics and compliance, privacy, and other programs in the governance space. So now I want to share with you a little bit more information about how we're working towards some of our environmental goals, and specifically how we're working on addressing our scope 1 and 2 emissions. As I mentioned earlier, we're taking a stepwise approach where first we look at improving the energy efficiency of our own operations, and this can be through improvements in HVAC systems or optimizing the way our manufacturing lines are set up. We also leverage a very mature ISO 50001 energy management system to help us evaluate and prioritize energy conservation opportunities. The next step in this process is to install renewable energy on our sites, and we already have 17 megawatts of solar energy installed on our sites in the U.S., China, and Hungary, and we're continuing to investigate additional opportunities to install renewable energy at our sites. Finally, we utilize renewable energy commodities in the form of RECs, IRECs, and guarantees of origin to help us meet our emission reduction goals. Last year, the renewable energy commodities we purchased supported 100% renewable projects from wind and solar in Europe, China, and the U.S., and some small-scale hydropower projects in Europe. In addition to switching to renewable energy at the source, we're also continuing to seek ways to make our products and our processes more efficient and reduce the consumption of energy. One of the ways that we're making our processes more efficient is through optimizing some of our manufacturing processes. And one of the great examples that I really like to share is our low-temperature solder technology that we invented and deployed in 2017. And essentially, this is a process that allows us to lower the temperature of the ovens that we use on our surface mount technology lines. And as a result, we use less energy, and we've saved over 10,000 metric tons of carbon since we started deploying this. The really, I think, interesting part of this is that we have given this technology away to our suppliers, so the benefits don't stop at our gates. We now have 18 suppliers that are using this technology to produce memory, fingerprint readers, and other components for Lenovo, as well as for other customers. We have an additional 28 suppliers that are in the process of onboarding this technology, so we can really see how this benefit extends beyond just Lenovo. Another environmental area that I mentioned we're focused on is the circular economy, and we have some very specific targets here to measure the improvements that we're making in sustainable materials, as well as the impact that we're having from our product end-of-life programs. So now I'm going to pass the floor over to Rita from our Global Supply Chain Organization, who is ESG and Sustainability Manager, and she will talk a little bit more about some of our supply chain initiatives. Rita?
Thanks, Mary. We understand the importance of aligning our sustainability strategy with our supply chain partners, and we have put in tremendous efforts to manage our entire value chain. Our production suppliers are required to comply with Lenovo's supplier code of conduct, and they are strongly encouraged to comply with RBI's code of conduct too. In 2022, 83 of our suppliers by spend achieved validated audit program designation, and 17 by spend achieved factory of choice designation. To ensure our supply chain integrity, we require for every 2 years that 95% of our suppliers by spend conduct RBA VAP or an equivalent level independent audit. And we also implemented a third-party ESG risk assessment platform, EcoVadis, to screen suppliers throughout the value chain. We strictly adhere to NASDAQ, OECD, and other regulatory initiatives. And we voluntarily adhere to RMI and other relevant initiatives, even when not required, to ensure the procurement of minerals are completely mineral-free. Now, I will pass it back to Kelvin for more about our human rights, diversity, and inclusion initiatives. Kelvin?
Thanks, Rita. As a signatory of the UN Global Compact and member of the Responsible Business Alliance, we are committed to respecting human rights and labor standards of the regions we operate in. In 2022, 100% of our manufacturing sites owned either solely by Lenovo or owned via joint venture with our partners conducted independent audit with the latest version of RBA standards. The RBA standards is based on the International Labor Organization standards and have specific provisions to review child labor and forced labor practices. Diversity and inclusion is core to our DNA, and our initiatives focus on fostering diverse and inclusive systems and procedures. As an endeavor of the United Nations Women's Empowerment Principle and signatory of the Declaration of Amsterdam, we will continue to champion diversity and inclusion, support an inclusive workplace for all our employees. This wraps up the summary of our Lenovo's ESG initiatives, and I'll hand it back to Mary to take you through what we've done as an organization with our ESG efforts.
Great. Thank you, Cal. So it's really inspiring for us as employees to see our accomplishments as a responsible leader, a great employer, and a corporate citizen recognized by respected organizations around the world. And I think what I'm most proud of is the breadth of recognition that we've gotten across the full ESG spectrum in the mix of global and regional recognition. So we've already mentioned the leadership level ratings for CDP in the water, climate security, and supplier engagement surveys. These also contribute to our strong showing in the Gartner Top 25 supply chain ranking, where we were rated number 8. That survey has a very heavy weighting on ESG. In addition, for a more regional perspective, I'm very proud of the fact that we were rated AA+ by the Hang Seng Corporate Sustainability Index, and also that we achieved recognition for our green bond issuance, which was included in the Bloomberg MSCI Green Bond and the S&P Green Bond Indices, which are standards of market best practices. I want to go into a little bit more detail about our MSCI ESG rating and our Sustainalytics ESG rating. So we know that these ratings are important factors in how we're viewed by investors and different stakeholders, and we're really pleased to report that we've made meaningful progress in these ratings. In December of 2022, MSCI upgraded our ESG rating one notch to AAA, and not only have we achieved the highest possible score in the technology, hardware, storage, and peripherals industry, we were also amongst the top 11th percentile of companies in this universe. MSCI cited our latest improvement in score was attributed to improvements in our corporate governance, our ongoing leadership in the management of electronic waste, privacy, and data security. We also rank well in the Sustainalytics risk ranking, where we are continued to be rated low in terms of exposure to material ESG issues with a score of 17.1, and our management of material ESG issues is rated as strong. So we continue to perform well and in line with our peer group in this survey as well. I'm now going to pass the floor to Sirbane, who is our Director of Insurance and Treasury Operations, to talk more about our green finance framework and the green bond we did last year.
Thank you, Mary. We established our green finance framework in July last year to support our green financing activities and to integrate sustainability into our financing program. The framework sets out the governance and processes for financing and refinancing eligible projects that brings positive contribution to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The framework is aligned with the International Capital Market Association, Green Bond Principles, and Green Loan Principles, among others, and receive a second-party opinion for Sustainalytics, which confirmed that the framework is credible and impactful. As a group, we have reviewed ESG-related capital expenditures and identified eligible project categories which are most applicable. There are five eligible green categories in our framework. Under energy efficiency, it covers the investment and expenditure related to energy efficiency features, upgrades, and retrofitting, such as the installation of low-energy lighting and related electrical equipment. We also focus on research, design, and development of energy-efficient products that also reduces product carbon footprint or improves emission intensity of soap products. Under renewable energy, it covers the construction, operation, and procurement of renewable energy sources, such as solar and wind projects. For green buildings, it covers the construction, renovation, retrofitting of new and or existing buildings and facilities that have received or are expected to receive a recognized green building certification, such as from BEAM Plus and LEED. Under circular economy, it covers the design and development and introduction of product packaging and services that support the circular economy by using recycled content, materials, which helps with improving the repairability or recyclability of products. Under green transportation, it covers investments into low energy consuming or low emission transportation assets. In short, the framework helps to foster investments in eligible green projects, which helps Lenovo's transition to a low carbon and more resource efficient business operation. We have also set up project evaluation and selection processes that are clearly defined and closely followed through. The Green Finance Working Group, GFWG in short, is responsible for the management of the framework and will maintain compliance of all finance instruments issued under the framework. GSWG consists of senior representatives from our ESG, legal, treasury, finance, global supply chain, and real estate departments. GSWG also consults with other organizations at Lenovo for guidance and direction, including the ESG Executive Oversight Committee. The process for project evaluation and selection includes identification of projects, assessment and selection of those projects, and the annual review to ensure that project eligibilities are met and proceeds are allocated on best effort basis as highlighted above. We believe that our sustainable investments embody our commitment to the longer-term sustainability of our business and communities in which we operate and support. As mentioned earlier, we issue our inaugural $625 million 10-year senior unsecured green bond under our green finance framework in July last year. Proceeds from this issuance were fully deployed and allocated to eligible green projects in accordance with the framework by October last year. We published a post-issuance report last year with Sustainalytics post-issuance external review report. 100% of the proceeds were allocated to the refinancing of eligible projects. 99% went towards the refinancing of our green building, the Beijing campus, and the Shenzhen new headquarters, both of which have obtained the LEED Gold certificates. The remainder of the proceeds were used to refinance our renewable energy projects, the solar energy projects in the United States. We are excited to report that as a result of deployment of this proceeds, the solar energy projects generated 3.24 megawatt hours of solar energy annually and avoided 920 metric tons of CO2 emission of greenhouse gas annually. With this, it concludes our ESG update presentation. We would like to open the floor for any Q&A from the investors. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please note we will only have text questions for today's conference. If you would like to ask a question, kindly press the Q&A button and type in your question. We now have our first question. Given the SBTi targets that have been set, will you consider KPI-linked framework and financing in the future? Thank you.
Thank you, Ada. The use of policy framework is more common in the market, and most of our companies establish the use of policy framework and issue their ESG-labeled bonds. However, given that Lenovo has robust science-based target in place, the company will not rule out any possibility of establishing a KPI-linked framework and issue the SLB bonds in the future. Thank you.
Second question, what do you see as being the biggest challenges when it comes to implementation of ESG initiatives?
This is Mary. I can take that. So I think one of the biggest challenges is really trying to sort through all of the potential initiatives that you can engage on and really understand what's material to your business and being able to focus on specific actions that are measurable and that have a real impact. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think the science-based targets initiative and their net zero standard is so important, because it gives companies like Lenovo a roadmap for what they need to do to address climate change in a way that's aligned with science and that meets the goals of the 1.5 degree initiative. So I think that's those sorts of standards and being aligned with science is a really important factor in helping to prioritize your goals.
Here's our next question. Thank you very much for your time today. We have prepared the following two questions for you. First one, we understand that Lenovo pursues eco-labels for many of its products. Has the company been tracking how many percentage of its revenue is from products with eco-label? If not, is that a KPI you plan to track in the future? And please note, the second part of your question we have received is incomplete. Kindly resend your second question. Thank you.
Okay, I can address the first part of the question while the requester resubmits the second part. So we do pursue eco-labels for many of our products. Similar to my response about the Science-Based Targets Initiative, I think they're a very useful tool for being able to measure meaningful impacts and also being able to make comparisons. We do not currently track revenue based on products with eco-labels, but we do report in our ESG report the percentage of our offerings that have certain criteria like Energy Star. And so we're really pleased that for Energy Star in particular, we have very high percentages across our different product platforms that achieve this label. I think that's the first part of the question. I don't know if the second part has been submitted yet. If not, we can move on to another.
Thank you. We will move to next question. Could you please elaborate on your initiatives towards biodiversity, also any details on your policies to prevent modern slavery? Thank you.
Okay, this is Mary again. I can address the biodiversity and then I can start to address the modern slavery, and Rita may chime in. So for biodiversity, we recognize that this is a very important issue that is tied to a lot of other material topics for Lenovo, like climate change and water resiliency. But as of this fiscal year, we have not determined that biodiversity is a material topic for Lenovo, and we've noted that in our ESG report. We are tracking closely, though, the development of new standards in this space, like science-based targets for nature and the work that CDP is doing to add biodiversity and other topics related to nature into their surveys. So we're very closely tracking this. And we do participate at a regional level in a number of different initiatives that do have a positive impact on biodiversity. And we tell these stories in our ESG report. For modern slavery, we do have a human rights policy as well as an anti-slavery and anti-human trafficking statement that is updated annually and reviewed and approved by our board. These statements and policies are supported by a number of different practices that are implemented both for our own operations and also in our supply chain. And I think I would like to hand it to Rita to talk in more detail about some of the controls and programs that we have in place to prevent modern slavery, specifically in our supply chain. So Rita, would you like to address that?
Henry?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Rita, can you talk about, yeah, great.
Are we talking about the question of biodiversity or the human rights, how we mitigate human rights in the supply chain?
Yes, human rights in the supply chain, please.
Yeah, we mitigated risk of human rights issues in supply chain through programs, contractual terms, SAQ, independent audits, industry-wide tools such as RBA and Equivalence tools. First of all, human rights content is written in Lenovo Supplier Code of Conduct, and Lenovo Supplier Code of Conduct is written in our master agreements and PO terms and conditions. Secondly, we require 95% of our suppliers to conduct RBA annual SAQ and biannual RBA on-site audit by third-party auditor. And in case of finding, we ask suppliers to offer us their corrective action plan, and we keep tracking to closure and to customer give us hard evidence. And thirdly, back in 2021, Lenovo started to implement a third-party ESG risk assessment platform, EcoVadis, to screen our suppliers throughout the value chain. And if any suppliers was judged by EcoVadis IQ tool at high risk, we will ask those suppliers to do the EcoVadis rating. And we also purchased an EcoVadis tool called Live News. That is, for all suppliers that we have been on board on EcoVadis, we could see the live news from the internet on their ESG performance. So there will be both negative news and positive news, and if there's any negative news, such as like human rights issues or environmental pollution issues, we will reach out to procurement team and to suppliers to chase for the closure of these issues. So that is how we ensure that our supply chain is free of any human rights issues.
Thank you. Our next question. Could you elaborate on how management team's compensation is linked with ESG-related performance targets, and to what portion of the management remuneration is linked, considering the previous successful green bond issuance? Any recent plan for additional issuance of green bonds or other types of ESG-related bonds do have a timeline? Thanks.
Yeah, it's Cal. I'll take that. So while we've had discussions at a very high level about the need for everyone's contribution towards this across the ESG spectrum, as Mary said, for example, things like the environment, you know, have to be based on the science-based targets initiative. And so until we have specific activities, until we can have roadmaps and goals, there's no formal tie or no direct tie to compensation for our management team.
And this is Keith. I will take the second part. As answering the first question, because now Lenovo has robust and science-based targets, we would not rule any possibility of establishing KPI link framework and SLB in the future. Thank you.
Next question is, can I clarify if the 95% suppliers RBA audit include all suppliers or just tier one suppliers?
I will take that. For the RBA audit program, 95% of our suppliers just are tier one suppliers. But as I've mentioned just now, we have not only RBA, but EcoVadis programs now. So for EcoVadis program, the target is we cover all suppliers, no longer only tier one, 95% suppliers by then, but our tier two and our key tier two and tier three.
Thank you and congratulations on the climate targets and SBTi validation. Would you mind elaborating on the 2030 Scope 3 use of products targets and the absolute emissions reduction expected?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so we've been focused on driving improvements in our product energy and emissions for a number of years, but in particular towards the science-based targets that we set in 2020. So while the target was enhanced when we announced it earlier this year, it is not new for us, and we're leveraging our mature ISO 14001 management system to set annual targets. So we work with all of our development teams to evaluate potential opportunities for driving energy efficiency on an annual basis through that process. So it's really hard to predict exactly what the path will look like in terms of the emissions reduction line, but I think we have a very good framework and foundation to build on. The other thing that we're looking at, in addition to just focusing on energy efficiency, is we're really diving into our product carbon footprint to understand some of the hot spots and utilizing some LCA projects to try to identify some opportunities for us to reduce the carbon impact through different choices that we're making, for example, using recycled metals or recycled plastic, and so trying to evaluate the carbon impact of some of those decisions. So we're really leveraging some of the mature processes we have in place and supplementing it with additional data from LCAs.
Our next question is, thank you for sharing the information. On the governance front, will Lenovo consider the practice to split the CEO and the chairman roles? On the board structure, does the company have a policy towards board rejuvenation? Thank you.
This is Tracy. I'll take that question. The board believes that the current board structure with combined roles of chairman and CEO, the appointment of lead independent director, and a vast majority of independent non-executive directors provide an effective check and balance of powers and authorization between the board and the management of the company. But we keep open, we are open to review the reasonableness and effectiveness of this structure from time to time. And about term of the member, we have the corporate governance principle adopted internally. Each term of an independent director shall not be more than 3 years and will be renewable up to maximum of 9 years. So we have this rejuvenating process in time, and then we know that investors are concerned about succession plan of the board as well. We have this as a priority for our board structure. Thank you.
Next question is, what is the progress of achieving the product repair at customer site target? What is Lenovo's plan in achieving the target?
So we are on track to achieve this target by 2025, and we're doing this by providing parts that customers can do customer repairable repairs. They're called customer repairable units, I think. But essentially, we're making sure that we have the parts available and that they're orderable, and that we're also providing education in the form of instructions for how customers can safely repair their products themselves. And so we're measuring this through our services organization, and they're looking at evaluating the products to determine what percentage of the products can be repaired by the customer at their site.
Thank you. Our next question is from question one, part two. We understand that Lenovo is aiming to have 100% of PC products containing post-consumer recycled content materials by 2026. Do we know what is the level we have achieved in 2022? And is Lenovo planning to expand this target to a group-wide level target rather than only focusing on its PC products? Thank you.
So we are on track to achieve this by 2025. And the reason that we were so focused on PCs is that for our server products, plastic is much is used in much lower quantities. They're largely made of metal, and there's a high percentage of recycled content that occurs in metals. So what we were really focused on was goals that would force us to make some additional design choices and design changes. And so PCs being the largest user of plastics in our products, that's why we really started with that. Certainly, as we think about our next generation of goals in the area of sustainable materials, I suspect we'll be expanding it to look at additional products and materials. And we're already using some new materials in our PCs that go beyond recycled content plastics. We've started using some certified recycled content magnesium and aluminum. So we're already laying the groundwork to look beyond plastics as well.
Our next question is, thank you for your presentation and sharing. I have two questions. Can you please quickly share some updates on green bonds issued in 2022? How's your progress with allocation of proceeds and their usage? How do you think about the current financing plan? Will you be considering a green bond issuance or SLB, given there is 220 million CB maturity in 2024 and 1 billion maturity in 2025?
Thank you, Ada. This is Keith. And for the first part of the question, you can see from the slide that we have already fully deployed the bond proceeds of the Beijing campus building, and the second one is the green building project in the Shenzhen headquarters, and lastly is the solar energy project in the U.S. And to the second part of your question, we already answered that we would not rule any possibility of a KPI link framework and SLB in the future. And regarding the refinancing plan, we are still under discussion. We have a final decision yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is, Lenovo aims to have 20% of directors being female by 2025. That is a little late. Can we understand what are your main obstacles to increasing that ambition to 30%? What do you need to take in your selection process to increase that gender representation ambition?
This is Tracy. I will take this question. As we mentioned earlier, when we select appropriate candidates for that as our directors, we consider factors including the candidate's background, experience, gender, and age. We definitely understand the market's concern on diversity on board, and when in our selection process, we would rank gender as one of the top priorities onto the list when we select the appropriate candidates. Thank you.
Here's our last question. How to ensure the quality of GHG emissions from Scope 3 emissions?
So this is Mary. I'll take that. So Scope 3 emissions are a very broad category, and so we have a number of different systems in place within Lenovo platforms to measure these emissions. And so we address supply chain emissions, global logistics emissions, our use of sold products emissions. There's a lot of different data that's coming from different sources. We have been working on a new digitalization platform to try to bring these different sources all onto one platform. And this is an initiative that's being driven by our global supply chain team, where we're using our knowledge and innovation to try to improve our processes for managing this. But right now we do have our Scope 3 as well as our other scopes of greenhouse gas emissions, our energy and our waste and our water data, third-party validated. And so we believe that by reporting to the greenhouse gas reporting protocol and by having our data third-party validated, we believe we have a high quality of data for our Scope 3 emissions.
Yeah, because of the time constraint, all the unanswered questions will be addressed separately. On behalf of Lenovo Group Limited, thank you very much for your participation in today's ESG update, and good day, everyone. We can disconnect now. Thank you.